Ladies and gentlemen from Los Angeles, the Emperor Roscoe wishes you a happy Christmas and a Merry New Year. Or was that Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year?
Welcome back to part two of Postcard from Pop Rap Boys and Girls. It's a slightly...
Onward, all us writers, marching us to war, with the cross of red tops, marching on before.
Yes, what it reminds me of, actually. Another thing that became a thing of the past this year was the good old Sony Walkman. But what's funny is, vinyl won't die like CDs have died. I think that's because
of... the Sony Walkman. Oh, there it is. Sorry.
And yet the other really funny thing was people like Lee and Mark started to hijack the pop charts by downloading old music.
I've
never heard a song in my life.
I didn't need to download old music. I've still got it.
Have you...
But the interest... I tell you what, doesn't it sound different, Mark, though, if you play it on vinyl and play it on CD or a download?
Yeah, right. Yeah, well, I actually have that issue of recorded it all into a computer now, so the vinyl's not touched anymore.
Yeah, good idea.
Yeah, that's what I mean. If you play your vinyl, it's a different thing. There's a warmth there. Sorry, Eric. Do you want to join in, Eric?
No. No, I can't do the old-fashioned debates anymore. A couple of tragedies this particular year, of which there was quite a few, actually. But one that comes to mind is the terrible earthquake that struck Haiti. And it was interesting how every media outlet got into the same vein with this one, which wasn't, apart from some of the news outlets like the print news and the 24-hour news channels, the rest of the media are excepted from this. They all got into the, oh, my God, look, there's a fight over there for water. Well, there would be. If you're blessed thirsty and haven't drunk for 3 days, you're going to fight for a bottle of water. I don't know what those so-called journalists were up to. Then, of course,
The very simple point about that is that if there is a water fight over there, that shows how devastated that country is, and you need to indicate that. It's like not showing dead bodies in a war.
Well, it could just be that there's a couple of people and the whole thing gets blown out of all proportion.
I'll tell you the truth. I'll tell you the truth, you know. I have witnessed this, and I know this goes on today, and this is the downside of journalism, that if you go to a war zone and or where there's been some sort of tragedy and you see a doll on the floor discarded by a child, you can almost guarantee that the paps have put that doll there to photograph it.
The paps.
Paparazzi.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, the war paparazzi. There are different levels.
Indeed.
Yeah.
And, of course, in the...
Can I just come in? Sorry, just come in to say one thing about Haiti, because, I mean, I don't want it really sort of to sound as if it was something in 2010 and it's finished, because it's still ongoing. I mean, the fallout from this tragedy and the cholera, and I think that the people of Haiti have got a difficult 2011 and 2012 probably as well. So it's still a shocking tragedy that continues.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree with you more. And then, of course, we had the absolute... Everything got disrupted with the, and I'm not even going to try and say the name of the mountain itself, the Icelandic volcanic ash clouds brought the whole of, well, this part of the world to an absolute standstill. But yet again, that was the bastion of new media. Stranded businessmen rushed to use netbooks and laptops, can't even say it now, and started talking to their distant offices using Skype. And for the most part, the travel news was disseminated by blogs, Facebook, Twitter, and SMS messages much faster than even TV or radio.
Yes, but I do have to say, Eric, in the 1950s, when you were a young man, and if something happened, right, where you were, you'd dash off to a telephone box and phone up somebody.
You'd be lucky in those days, mate, phoning around for that.
You'd go in a pub and find a phone box, and you phone people up. And there's no difference. There's just this. This is more obvious. The difference is that just because you phoned up the BBC at 17 years old to say there's been a train crashing such and such, I'm a witness, I can tell you what's going on. You didn't then say, I'm a citizen journalist now. You say, I'm a witness. I'm a witness.
Floods throughout the world continued this year, and we saw temperatures turn into heat wave in Russia. So much so that the Russian government actually banned the exports of grain because the whole lot went up in smoke.
That hurt the world.
Did indeed.
We saw China and
also Chile suffer earthquakes. And even the UK wasn't immune from that because up north, not far from Lee, there was actually a mini earthquake. And guess what? It became the hot topic, with every expert under the sun being wheeled into 24-hour news stations to talk about this earthquake, which was something like 2.5 on the Richter scale.
But was that really an earthquake? Wasn't that Caroline Cartwright in Sunderland who breached her ASBO, making rather loud noises during vigorous physical exercises?
Probably.
I think that was the earthquake, really.
Yeah, and I think this is another one where journalists get hammered as well.
Why? What have we done now?
Well, there was an explosion on the BP drilling platform in the Gulf of Mexico.
Our fault. Yeah, that was a slow news day. We'll just go and blow up BP.
And there was 11 workers killed in that explosion. Shame, but the politics of the cleanup seemed to overshadow the lost lives.
I don't remember
the journalists doing a lot about that at all.
Eric, you know why? 11 people lost their lives, and that was the original story. That was the story that broke about what had happened. Those people were treated properly and with respect. Mm-hmm. What happened then was one of the world's greatest ecological disasters, and the journalists then moved on, because you can only say somebody's dead once. You can't keep saying that they're dead.
No.
But when the ecological story of what was happening that could change the face of the world was moving on, then the journalists moved on with that story as well.
Mm. There was an absolute media frenzy over the 33 miners in Chile. I'll let Mark in a minute.
Why is this an attack on me all the time?
But the interesting...
I was going to agree with Lee. I think it was a very significant event. And I mean, to pick up from where Eric is, you know, the 33 miners trapped in the collapsed mine in Chile. Well, I mean, it was very interesting, but it almost seems to me that it got sort of disproportionate coverage compared to the problem in the Gulf of Mexico.
I agree. And I do...
There's a reason for that as well, though.
Why?
Because you've just said how sad it was that 11 men only got mentioned in the news initially when the story broke that they died, and then a couple of times as background information to the others. But 33 men trapped underground is such a dramatic and human interest story where these people are battling for their lives. By God, the media stayed on that story and did everything they could to support the families. There wasn't any negative. We weren't going around digging out the fact that some bloke down there was an alcoholic or a drug addict or was having an affair. We didn't do that. We stayed with the straightforward news story, which was the saving of these people's lives.
Do you know
what you're saying there, I mean, is absolutely true. But I have to say, all the marketing boys got in as well. I mean, there was even a California ski sunglasses company that got in and gave them all sunglasses and so forth, and it's used as part of their marketing campaign and so forth. So, you know, it all helps to spin off.
When Woolworths, in the centre of Manchester, you probably both remember, there's a horrendous fire in Woolworths in, I think it was 1983, 84. Mm-hmm. And the problem with it was that because it was all filled with inflammable materials, this is what changed the world of how you label furniture and stuff like that.
Yeah.
It was like this most horrendous bomb. The whole place just went up. And people were trying to squeeze out of windows on the fifth floor. It was absolutely horrible. And I was there as a journalist.
Right.
And I was covering it. And a bloke came up to me, an insurance agent. That's what he was. He was an insurance agent. He says, can you get in there, mate? I said, yeah. He says, can you hand that card out to anybody who's in authority? Because we could clean that place up really cheap. You know what I did? Genuinely, really? It's 30 years ago now, I hold my hands up, I punched him in the crowd. Not in his crowd, but I punched him in the crowd.
I know what you're saying. Yeah. I know what you're saying.
People have always done that kind of thing, Mark, and it's nothing to do with journalists, it's nothing to do. It's the very base nature of being a human being.
Okay. Anyway, the first World Cup was in Africa, and it was a good result for Slovakia. They did much better than was expected. Not that could be said of the failed English team, which probably played more like a blow football game than a proper one. So having lost
we didn't do as bad as the French.
Well, no, not quite, no. So having lost the World Cup, the Money Men gave the World Cup event to Russia, the next one, followed by the Middle East, which reminds me, if you're gay, don't go to the Middle East one because you'll get arrested. And... True.
Eric.
What?
Just certain things. Carry on.
That is true. Absolutely true. this is one that Mark, I'm sure, will love immensely. The bank meltdown continued, and the biggest gap of the year has to go to the former Prime Minister of the UK, Gordon Brown, for calling a voter a bigot during the UK elections.
Well, yeah, I mean, the first thing, as far as bank melts down, I mean, just because I run a website that's campaigned against banks doesn't mean we're against banking at all. And I have to say, a successful banking industry, I think, is very important. Mm. It's just I think they can conduct themselves a little bit better, and there's no sign of them doing so. Mm-hmm. As far as the Gordon Brown gaffe, well, I'm sure he regretted it, and of course it was very unfortunate. But I thought it was, you know, a little thing that was played up by the media, and once again, I think it was a piece of cheap. You know, it was a couple of cheap headlines there,
right,
and helped to sort of deflect from the real topics.
Oh, he's going to go off in one again.
Oh, God, we've got a hollow laugh here from Lee. Move on quickly, Eric.
Quick,
let's just do it straight and simple, eh?
Absolutely.
Right. You have the Prime Minister of a country, who calls one of his constituents a bigot, and makes him out to be, and there's no news in that, isn't there? Of course. Tell you what,
do you know what?
I'll try and get a job on a newspaper.
I'll try and get a job
in any kind of media outlet. That anything that anybody says doesn't really matter, does it?
No,
because
I think
it's just we're down to play with political correctness, not the reality of the world.
No, not at all. I mean, of course it matters, but I mean, I think that you have to understand how much it matters, and I don't think it matters.
It's a revealing moment in one of the most powerful man's. So,
hang on,
let me just
feel
a very stressed moment.
Yeah, let me just check this one out. So, because he did something when he was stressed out, it became headline news because he made a mistake. Yeah. Therefore, is it right for a stressed out journalist who makes a mistake to be headlined in every newspaper in the country?
Well, the problem is, you see, that never actually has been a problem in the past for journalists. Make a mistake in a newspaper.
Yeah.
If you make a mistake in a newspaper, you put a correction. You say, sorry, I got it wrong. Now what happens is you're pilloried by every Tom, Dick and Harry who thinks he can string a sentence together, and most of them can't. And they don't actually understand the laws or the logic or anything to do with what is going on. Mm. And the fact that a journalist... You see, also, you have to remember...
Sorry, and Gordon Brown wasn't being pilloried?
Well, he shouldn't have said it, mate, should he? He just shouldn't have said it. You don't...
I mean,
you know,
yeah, but
there
no,
are certain
but
rules.
You've got all sorts of people say stuff.
He is the biggest business... He was, at that moment, the biggest businessman in Britain, one of the biggest businessmen in the world.
Yeah.
And businessmen don't have to be aware of their public image. Fine, that's fine. I will never live in your world.
do you know what's running through my mind at the minute, Mark?
Go on.
I think this is there's a business model for this, because we you know, whether Lee accepts it or not, the sales of newspapers aren't going up. People are fed up with journalists in a big
Nobody's
way.
Denied it. You can't say I accept
people
it.
People are fed up with them because the journalists actually are doing what DJs did in the 1970s. DJs became more famous than the music.
And it's but journalists haven't.
Wait. No, they have. Because that's why they're all on talk shows, and you've got...
Go on. Name me three famous journalists off hand.
Name
me one.
What? Piers Morgan?
Yeah, but he's...
Oh, yeah, that's right. Piers Morgan.
Yeah,
Piers Morgan is now a TV...
What about John Gaunt?
Well, they both see. They write for newspapers. They're columnists. Yeah, they're columnists. They're not workaday journalists. The workaday journalists don't have the fame of a columnist.
So why are these workaday journalists on 24-hour TV channels every night of the week?
Because
on what the papers say.
For them to be, because this place is, because there's space for them.
You're right. So I think the answer to this is quite simple. Like I've said before, the politicians should get together.
I love you, Eric.
The politicians should get together and produce their own newspaper. And what that newspaper should contain is all the gaffes, cock-ups, mistakes made by journalists, and put that on the newsstands. And I'll tell you what, it would sell. Because the public would love it.
You know what? There is a newspaper that's done that. It's done once a year. Now, for the life of me, I genuinely can't remember what it's called. Mm-hmm. But it's actually put together by journalists. And they actually write down their own cock-ups and everything and put it in. So this, you say, every newspaper in the world has one.
No one's going to believe that.
I would love to see it.
Yeah, so would I.
Well, I bet it's great.
It's on sale, nobody buys it.
Yeah, well, that's probably because it's written by journalists. They're never going to believe it. Anyway, moving along, David Cameron led his campaign in the UK on the financial failings of New Labour, but didn't win an outright majority at the elections. However, he became the 19th British Premier, educated at Eton, following a deal with Nick Clegg, who gained many votes from young voters who were voting for the first time.
You nearly said that he won an outright erection. Didn't you? I'm sure that's what you were going to say.
I wasn't going to be that Freudian. And the riots have proven that they feel let down with it. But the one thing that really annoys me about this whole condemned coalition is they've as good as scrapped Royal Britannia. They've killed the Navy. What's that all about?
Well, it's it. Well, yeah, that's it. Well, it is. It's a bad move, isn't it? We've done a deal with France. We've done, you know, we didn't used to get on with France, but now we've done a deal with France over the Navy and things like that. So now, if we want to go to war, we have to go to France and say, "Can we borrow our ship?" And they said, "Where are you going in it?"
Exactly.
Are you going to put some petrol in it?
Borrow their ship.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. But it's our ship as well. It's ours. Oh, we share. We own a bit. And they say, "Well, it's going to cost 50 quid in petrol." That.
And anyway, I'm going to move along quickly while we're on the subject of the military. And I have to pass my absolute congratulations and respect. And I honour everybody in the great British public who continue to respect the fallen heroes through 2010. I know some of you guys out in Afghanistan do listen to us. Thank you so much for the work that you're doing. And let's hope that 2011 sees you back home safely. And all the good work that you've done comes to a very prosperous and good end.
All I can say is that I back that 100%.
Britain screwed up again. Why am I not surprised? By educating a man from Iraq who blew himself up with his own bomb in Stockholm in Sweden. How the hell does that happen?
Well, British education, isn't it? I mean, there we are.
Yeah. Hey, which way round you put the battery terminals? Pluses, minus. And then I love this. This was just so wonderful. Later in the year, we saw snow.
I know.
And the old media were there, but like baying wolves, calling for the blood as Heathrow ground to a halt due to unusual snow. Now, what interests me, guys, is the cries for revenge continued for about a week, and then there was massive snow in America with all their airports being closed. And the funny thing was, all the wolves must have been fed by this point because they didn't call for blood anymore.
So can I just comment on this? Passing comment.
Yeah.
The difference is, in England, when England came to a full stop because of the snow, which was ludicrous, because it only cost 75 million to clear it up and get rid of it, and an ongoing cost of 15 million a year just to make sure it didn't happen to us again, it was happening in Britain. And so it was affecting British people. Therefore, it was quite important to point out to people what was going on. When it happened in America, it wasn't new. It happens in America all the time. Plus, it was affecting Americans, not UK people. It certainly made... It didn't make a splash, I think, in any national newspaper.
Well, it should have done, because all the transatlantic flights were cancelled. It was decades since it had ever happened before. Yes. So it just proves how out of date all the journalists are, then.
Not really. It proves that we focused on what was affecting our people.
Well, we do that, but I have to say that we seem to be giving ourselves a special portion of blame. And I can tell you it was also happening all the way through Europe.
Yes,
let me say that the aeroplanes were grounded all through Europe and trains weren't working all through Europe. Mm-hmm. So in a way, to sort of say that this is a peculiarity of English life that's happening, I think
That once again is what I was saying, Mark. I really genuinely wasn't saying that. What I was actually saying is that in Spain, where you had problems, Spaniards wrote about Spanish problems. In France, where you have problems,
No, that's not the point I'm making, Lee, that's not the point I'm making.
Well, I'll tell you what, in French media, they weren't, in the French media, they weren't particularly, and there wasn't a lot of criticism, right? Now, there's two reasons that that might happen. One, because they accept that that's the way it happens, but actually, more importantly, and this is my view, and that is that actually the French media don't seem, in my book, to have an awful lot of freedom to criticise themselves and to criticise their government here. There seems to be a lot more control.
I think there is. Right,
yeah. Anyway, doom and gloom over. Prince William and Kate Middleton.
Does that mean the attacks on Lee Banks is over?
Might be. Not. Prince William and Kate Middleton are to be married in 2010 in Westminster Abbey. Can't wait for that. Hold on. The old guard are out again. The old lot are out again. Here we go. It appears to me, that some who didn't retain power in the last election because they couldn't tell their MPs what to do, namely some unions, are now suggesting, so bear in mind, this is the minority, not the majority, the minority are now suggesting they will go on strike against the new government activities just before the royal wedding. Now, I don't know if I've got this wrong, but I thought a democracy was when more people said we want one thing. If you lose that election, you're the minority, and then you have to go with the flow of the people. So why are they going to stop everybody else going to see the royal wedding?
Because that's democracy is a dictatorship, and that's always been the problem with democracy.
And, yeah, and according to Lee, democracy is controlled by professional journalistic... which is the dictatorship of the democracy, I have to say.
Yes.
We are the disseminators of democracy, yes. But if these people are going to go, you see, there again, that's what it is, and I agree with you. I really do. But I also add this addendum to it, right? What happened is every Tom, Dick and Harry, right? I chose those words carefully, right?
Yes,
have decided that they understand the media and how the media works and how to get stuff in the media. And all that is a power play to say, right, they're getting, that's a big story, so we'll jump in there. Mm-hmm. Actually, you know what will happen? They won't get a look in.
No, that'd be good if they don't. We must end on a couple of highs as we get towards the end of the programme. At long last! Thank you very much. England's actually won something. The Ashes Tour, showing the Aussies that the Barmy Army... is as balmy as the newspapers down under would have us believe not. No, because the newspapers down under said, the Brits are coming, we'll hammer them, they'll die, we'll get the Ashes back. And what happened to the journalists down under? Got it wrong, didn't they, Dad?
I don't know, honestly, because it's about that cricket game and I don't understand it. And then the newspapers said that cricket, the Ashes, somebody had snorted the Ashes, I'd just believe them.
Right. Okay. I do agree. I like to sort of sit at a cricket match and have a pint of beer, but I have no idea what's going on.
Really?
See, there you have it again.
It's
that's
easy.
That's the old English attitude, isn't it? We'll go to a cricket match and have a beer, dear. I have no idea what's going on.
It's so simple. What?
Absolutely.
The rules are simple. Yeah. It's a simple rule. Yeah. When you're out, you're in. When you're in,
you're in, you're out.
Yeah, that's it. Simple. Yeah. for the funny side of life to finish off, as I promised you. Over 52, then you're probably grumpy.
I'm saying nothing.
How old are you, Mr. Banks?
How old's what?
How old are you, Mr. Banks?
I'm 47.
Right. Liar. You little liar. A poll of over 2,000 Britons found that over 50s laughed far less than their younger counterparts and complained far more.
I laugh all the time. But when? I also complain all the time as well.
But, exactly. Apparently, this was a survey for the... who wrote this? Cable TV channel? Rubbish idiot. Probably a journalist who wrote it. Survey for the satellite TV channel, Dave. Not the cable TV channel. And men were found to be grumpier than women.
Well, I think they are. That's because they have to live with women.
Oh! Hate mail. I'm going to give his address out one of these days for the hate mail.
It's here. Come to the village of the damned, you'll find me.
Yeah, every sign points that way. And final news story before we wrap up. A team of scientists say they have positively identified an embalmed head It's not Lees. Presumed lost in the chaos of the French Revolution as that of King Henry the it's a one and a V thing. I need a journalist to translate that. Of France, the one and the V thing.
Henry the Fourth, you big knob.
They did not find his... they found his head, yes.
Yes.
That's what we said, Mark. You automatically just jumps in to deny it. For no reason.
No. I was trying to defend the big knob, actually.
The trouble is that joke went right over his head, didn't it?
as long as that's where it went, yes.
Okay. I think we can just squeeze this one in.
We're not doing the bear.
We haven't got there yet. We'll squeeze this one in because this is so true. Absolutely. When people turn round, and this is for the second consecutive year, boys and girls, whatever was topped in the Maris poll as the most annoying word or phrase in the English language. Whatever.
Do you know what the most annoying word in British language is?
Journalist.
Eric.
Oh dear. And the phrase "to tell you the truth" and "actually" were also unnerving to many. Yeah, right, exactly. "To tell you the truth," that means I'm going to lie. "Actually," which means I'm about to assassinate your dress code, which is absolutely normal. Listen, we're going to go around the table here, boys and girls, as we get towards the end of the program. It is the end of a decade. My word, 2010. We'll start off in Paris. It's over to you, Mark, to wish the audience which you wish to wish them. And so we'll leave you for 30 seconds.
Well, I really do wish everybody a happy new year, and certainly those people in Britain, but I think probably most people in the world likely have a very difficult new year. Be careful. Don't borrow too much, for goodness sakes. Just try to keep your budgets on track. There we are.
Lee?
Very simple, really. Just love everybody, care for everybody, look after everybody, and everybody will look after you, and that's really good. And one thing about Christmas for next year, you know how the Bible says renounce Satan? Well, I say renounce Santa.
Don't listen to him, kids.
He's got very long hair.
He's a grumpy old man. As we go into the end of the programme, boys and girls, a couple of things I want to say. Thank you very much indeed, first of all, to both Lee and Mark for playing a massive part of the programme and keeping RTI's dream alive for 2010. So thank you, guys. More importantly, thank you to the platform operators, both Audio Boo and Stick'em and Replay and Talk Radio X, who also helped to keep us going and keep everything active. And more importantly than that, you guys out there, masses of you that we couldn't say hello to this particular week, who sent messages of Happy New Year to us. Our Skype thing seriously goes off every flipping day with more and more messages. You're absolutely wonderful. The numbers on the Stick and Play, which we've now got back up, we've got the new servers going for you, are absolutely enormous, and they go up every single day. So thank you so much. Before you go out, if you are going out with the car over the back end of the festive period, please have a non-drinking driver with you. It makes a whole bunch of sense. The last thing you want is to get arrested by the police. You'll have your DNA tested. It'll go on record. You will have a criminal offence. You've then got to walk into the office in 2011 and say to the boss, I've been done for drunk driving. Am I fired? Not a good way to start the new year. So my advice
absolutely
to you is
not.
Do not drink and drive. And we'll look forward to seeing you next year on Radio Tatras International. Postcard from Pop Brad, from me, Eric Wiltshire, and the entire team. Have a happy new year. We'll see you next year. Take care. Bye-bye.
Happy new year.
This is RTI, from the heart of Europe to the world. The Station of the Stars.